Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Monday, let's get right. Filling in for BT and Sal, shout out to Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata. It's Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. A little KM in the AM. 888-808-1019, call the line one time. We're going to start off with your New York Mets. You thought I was going to start off with "All Rise, Here Comes the Judge." No, because I just hear conversation about the worst loss of the season. I hear conversation about it being over. I hear conversation about Carlos Mendoza. Are you checking your manager now? Are you saying that he missed? Stop that. I guess we got to talk some Mets fans off the ledge. I think we got to just like zero in on the fact that the worst loss of the season is not yesterday. It's not any of the losses. Not Jorge Lopez throwing the glove in the air. Not having a 5-0 lead on the Oakland A's. The worst loss of the season is the loss that mathematically puts you out of the season. Puts you out of the running for the postseason. The worst loss of the season is the loss that eliminates you on both sides. I mean, the Yankees had a bunch of worst losses of the year. I mean, one of them came at the hands of the Mets. I think as fans, we just live in this day-to-day 162 one-game seasons. If you're a diehard baseball fan, you're literally ready to die hard every 9 innings. But ultimately, it's still right in front of them until it's not. But now it just gets scary, right? Now we're entering the territory of wasted opportunities. You can't waste this opportunity. As the summer ends, I think about how many people probably wasted this summer. This was a great opportunity. While it was warm outside, the days were longer for you to get after it. For you to seize the day. And the thing that sucks about losing a game like you lost yesterday against the San Diego Padres, I was in Atlanta over the weekend. The Braves lost. So in your mind, you're thinking, okay, we got it. We're going to win the series. We have a 2-run lead. Okay, we're going to gain some room here. The Braves lost. Well, that's baseball, Susan. It doesn't go that way. But I look at the Mets team and I say, hold on. Everybody had them buried through this stretch. No way are they going to beat the Baltimore Orioles. Sure they can. Walk them off. Emphatically. Francisco Alvarez, Jesse Winker. Take 2 out of 3 from those guys. Then go on the road and face a team that, you know, you still have a grudge against. You still want to get a little bit of revenge against from the last time you were in the postseason with a team that won 101 games and a special season. And a lot of those guys still being here. Carlos Mendoza saying we're going to lean on the experience of the 2022 Mets to get us through this year. When I look at a guy like Francisco Lindor, not Alvarez, when I look at a guy like Francisco Lindor, who is, yes, actually in the MVP conversation, no matter what we want to say about Shohei Ohtani or not, I'm having arguments this weekend with my friend Serena, Dodgers fan, about Shohei Ohtani versus Judge. Don't give me that one. Who would you rather pay to go see? Who's the most electrifying guy in the sport? But now, when you look at a guy like Lindor, I mean, we got to put some respect on his name. He deserves all of our respect. Make the respect as loud or louder than the disrespect, myself included. I looked at the contract over the years, and I'm like, this guy's overpaid. I looked at the contract over the years, and I'm like, they just had to do this. You know, rich owner coming in. They just had to spend some money to keep a guy here. He's worth every penny. He's carrying the team at times. His moxie. His aura, his swag, he's fired up out there. He's competing at a high level when the lights are brightest. 888-808-1019, Francisco Lindor is having a great year. Francisco Lindor is the leader of the team, captain of the team, MVP of the team, and definitely in the MVP discussion. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is a unicorn. He's one of one. He's not even doing what makes him half man, half amazing. But when you look at this Mets team, where they started off, and where they are now, Francisco Lindor is the main catalyst. And that's another thing about the Mets team. This is an average team. This is a slightly better than 500 team. They win a game, they lose a game. They win a game, they lose a game. That's average. But you know what? They need to put together a win streak, a 4-game win streak, 5-game win streak at some point. Maybe it's in front of them right now. Maybe that can happen with the Arizona Diamondbacks series into the Chicago White Sox series, but we all know the Diamondbacks aren't losing games. They're balling right now. I mean, they were in the World Series last year. They have found it. And the White Sox, you can't take lightly either. But it's all still right in front of them until it's not. It's all still right in front of you until mathematically you're out of it. And you can't worry about it. The players can't worry about losing a game. They're off today. They got to enjoy their off day as they're in Arizona now. And they have to put that behind them and play a series against a team that's in the top wild card spot. They can't be thinking about Jose Buto. They can't be thinking about Quintana, Edwin Diaz, Francisco Alvarez. And I know you guys are going to call up today and you're gonna talk about Quintana. I think I saw Evan said something along the lines of, you know, Carlos Mendoza fell in love with lefty-lefty. No, he's just playing the matchup and his numbers and going with the plan and the script that they had. And you know what? Guys didn't get it done. But Jose Quintana overall gave you his best outing in weeks when you needed it. You know, a guy like David Peterson has been super solid. His performance was great again. So you have little pieces and parts of the team. Maybe some of you are mad at Francisco Alvarez and you want to see Luis Torrens. I don't know if that's going to change anything. I don't think that Torrens deserves to be glued on the bench, but I also know that Alvarez is a young leader on the team. He's got a certain swag, moxie, energy that he brings. You need the compete level. You know, you need Jesse Winker going out there and doing the spank. You need him slamming his helmet. And even though people didn't like it, you need some type of energy around the team that, no, we're not just going to be a doormat. We're not going to lose. We're not going to just lay down. And I think the Mets still have that. I think that the Mets, they have lost so many games, but they've shown you, as soon as you think it's the lowest of low, whether you think it's, you know, the worst loss of the season, they can rebound from it. They can come back, have a complete game shutout. Severino, when you're thinking about, ah, man, he's running out of bullets. It's late in the season. He hasn't pitched as much. He's there. Pete Alonso, Pete hasn't done anything. Pete will knock a couple homers out. Pete will show that he's still there. I mean, you need more out of Pete Alonso this year. That's part of it, too. But all in all, when I look at the Mets in this season, the grimace season, the OMG Jose Iglesias number one hit single season, Mark Vientos is going to have a 25-30 home run season. You're getting performances out of guys like Harrison Bader when you need it. I know Nimmo had an injury, couple injury sickness or whatever, but he was playing like an all-star in the beginning. Like, when you're putting all of these things together, Marte has come back. They've been able to overcome injuries to the rotation. Paul Blackburn is another injury you're going to have to overcome. It's a special season. It's a special year. And you can't waste years like these. You don't get too many years like these. So it doesn't matter that in the beginning of the season it was an evaluation year. It doesn't matter that in the beginning of the year, if they make the postseason, whatever. You know, some fans even getting mad at these competitors, they thought they had a postseason team. The owner, the president of baseball operations, the players told you we think we're a postseason team. And they're right there. The Braves, they're reeling. I was at the game Friday night. And I mean, the Braves fans, they're quiet in there. It was awkward in there. Like, they try to manufacture the, oh, like, they put everybody on the big screen doing the chop, and it is not lit. They got lucky. A walk-off error. CJ Abrams throws the first base. Guy can't scoop it. Michael Harris, the second runs through first base. Braves win. They come back, win the next game, but they don't end up sweeping the Washington Nationals, who the Yankees will have next. But when I look at the Braves, I'm like, they're not a juggernaut either. They're not elite either. All it's going to take is one down week for them and one good week for the Mets, and maybe they swap. You can't think about what's already done. The past is the past. You can't think about the missed opportunities that were there for weeks and weeks and weeks. Oh, the Angels series. Oh, the Rockies series. The Oakland Athletics series. It's done. It's done. But all in all, I think that these guys are fighting. These guys are competitive. These guys want to get to October. Your president of baseball operations did make some moves to get you across the finish line to make sure that you have. I mean, it wasn't the greatest deadline, but it was enough. You had a starter. You had a bat. You add pieces to the bullpen on a team that already had a deep bench and different guys coming out of the bullpen. They made the bullpen better. The rotation has been better than expected. Sean Manaea has been great. Now you just need to continue on. You got to put it in the rearview mirror. I know. It just happened yesterday. So people are still living in it today. And you can't wait for them to get back on the field tomorrow. It's an off day. But I just really feel like as fans, we die hard every game. We live in this 162 one-game seasons, and they don't live like that. They can't live like that. The math is still the math. It's there until it isn't. and we need New York back in the postseason on both sides. And the Yankees, when we're talking about the Yankees not wasting, you know, a season, it's not the same bar as the Mets, obviously. But for the Yankees, they can't waste a season where you have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, and it's not guaranteed that you're going to have Juan Soto next year. They can't waste a season where Judge is doing this again. Judge is potentially going to break his own record. He's going to hit more than 62. Like, as soon as I saw him in the Guardian series hit four home runs, I'm like, okay, wait, his pace is changing. His pace was at like 58, 60. Now he's on pace to hit 63. Brian Hoke will join me at 11:30, so we'll do the Mets conversation. We'll table the Yankees conversation. Hoke wrote the book 62 a couple years back when Judge broke the AL home run record. And I jokingly said to Hoke, you're going to have to write 63 or maybe 65 or dare I say 70. There's still some 30 games left. There's still another month of the season left. I mean, Judge, the Judge numbers are starting to get really crazy. Like, they're just starting to be dumb at this point where it doesn't make sense. There's video game numbers. It's this guy over his last 13 games has 10 home runs and 8 strikeouts. Yeah, Judge has more home runs than strikeouts in his last 13 games. His name is being placed among steroid users who went absolutely crazy. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, when we're talking about 50 homer seasons. This is Judge. Judge is not on steroids. Judge is just some type of mutant X-Men. The Judge or not. This guy is like something we've never seen. And that's why I've been on the Fan for weeks saying, hey, I don't criticize Judge. I'm not counting this guy out. Nobody's saying anything about this man's toe anymore. Nobody's even thinking he could be potentially hurt or injured. Remember, that was the conversation in April. Imagine if in April he just was a little bit more of himself. He wasn't himself at all. That's why we were worried. Well, he missed a little bit of spring training. He slumped. Everybody is human. Even though this guy doesn't seem human, he slumped. And then he's turning on at a historic pace. And he's doing it with Juan Soto in front of him. So I know the conversations today are going to be about keeping Juan Soto and what the Yankees have to do to keep Juan Soto, especially as Juan Soto is about to go back to Washington, D.C., where he won a World Series, looking to do the same thing with the Yankees this year. And he's about to face his former team and get a hard look at, okay, this is what they turned into after me. They offered him 15 years, $440 million. He turned it down. What's it going to take for the Yankees to keep Juan Soto? And I don't care what it takes. I think all Yankee fans are on the same page with this. Seeing these guys Sunday go back to back to back, seeing these guys just dominate, pitchers don't have a chance. You're just hoping that this continues, not just into the postseason. Sure, we're almost guaranteed that the Yankees have a little bit of a lead in first place in the AL East. And I mean, for my money's worth, they need to win the division. They need to have the best record in the AL to give themselves the best chance to ensure that they get to the World Series, that we can see Aaron Judge. Don't waste his prime, right? Don't waste 1 year potentially of Juan Soto. And I think all Yankee fans are on the same page that whatever it costs, it costs. Like, Juan Soto is a Yankee. He's in pinstripes. We're seeing what Aaron Judge looks like with Juan Soto batting in front of him. You have to keep this tandem together. This Bash Brothers or Mantle. And like, no, you have to keep these guys together. As much as Judge's name is also being mentioned with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, it's ridiculous. This has to continue. And so for the Mets, we're talking about not wasting a magical season where things like Grimace and Oh My God song comes up and you're getting career years out of guys like a Jose Iglesias. You have guys competing like Luis Severino, way different year than he had last year. You can't waste a year. It isn't just good enough to compete and give us good memories from March to September. They have to make the postseason, and it's still very much on the table, but there's got to be urgency. There can't be mistakes. You got to win games like yesterday, but it's not the worst loss of the year. And the conversation with the Yankees is, listen, Judge is in his prime. How long is he going to be in his prime? I'm not doubting that guy. I'm done doing that. I don't think anybody's doubting him. He's the best thing in baseball right now. He's the best thing to watch in baseball right now. The Yankees are making money. Man, a Sunday like that, I was jealous. I was out of town this weekend. And I'm like, man, if you went to the game yesterday, what a treat. Old Timers Day, we'll forget about that one. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about Will Warren and, you know, obviously Jeter and A-Rod and Mariano Rivera and those guys coming back, but Old Timers Day was very forgettable, but the Yankees responded yesterday with Soto, with Judge, with Giancarlo Stanton. Gleyber Torres, good to see you. Verdugo, keep him down there in the order. You know, the Yankees are in the middle of another historic run from a guy that's going to win MVP again. You can't waste his prime. You got to get this guy to October. You got to get this guy really to the Fall Classic in October. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Don't waste your summer. This is it. I mean, we're coming up on Labor Day weekend this weekend. Don't waste your opportunity. Whatever emails you need to send, whatever business plans you have, whoever you wanted to reach out to, some content you wanted to create, just go for it. The summer will be over before you know it. Football is coming. I think later on today, we'll talk a little bit about Jets and Giants. There's cuts going on in the NFL as well, but really the conversation today starts with the Mets. Tough loss yesterday. They didn't lose the series, though. Tough loss yesterday against the San Diego Padres, a peer-tier team that's right in front of you in the wild card standings. And then for the Yankees, yeah, they handled business against the Colorado Rockies. I think that story's secondary. The real story is what Aaron Judge is doing. And if we're possibly watching another historic run, if he's going to break his own record, and with Juan Soto in front of them, and in front of him, you got to keep them together. And I think the Yankees know that. I think the Yankees know whatever it costs, it costs. And a lot will be determined by, you know, on both sides, right? I know, obviously, the competitor for Juan Soto in town right here is the Mets. But I think a lot will be determined on, you know, how the season ends. If the Mets are able to rally and go to the postseason, they're a fun team. They've got some core players locked up and some young talent. I think that can be appealing to Juan Soto to potentially join them. But, I mean, if the Yankees go, there's so many different ways you can look at it. If the Yankees fall short of the World Series, Juan Soto may feel like he has unfinished business. If the Yankees get to the World Series and lose, Juan Soto may feel like he has unfinished business. If the Yankees win the World Series, they may feel like they don't have to pay $585 million for Juan Soto because they got the ring with him in the one-year rental of him. But they also may feel like, hey, we can go back-to-back. Maybe we could three-peat. The American League is wide open. We're going to talk about the Houston Astros and the Baltimore Orioles splitting. We'll talk about how I just don't fear anyone in the AL Central. How if there ever was a year to not waste Aaron Judge's prime, and Aaron Judge himself has to get it done in the postseason. I know he's a 211 hitter in October. So what? This is a different October. It's coming up. We absolutely cannot waste the opportunity that we have to bring postseason baseball back to New York, in Queens, and the Bronx, and have a good time this October. 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Talk New York sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yes, sir. Right back at it on the Fan in New York this Monday morning, approaching 10:30. Keith McPherson on the Fan, filling in for BT and Sal. Shout out to my mom. My mom got in the car. She's like, I turned the radio on, and I wasn't thinking about it. She's like, I hear your voice. I'm like, yeah, I didn't tell you. Surprise, Mom. I'm filling in for Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata today and tomorrow. I'm going to do my best solo Mark Malusis, hold it down like one of my all-time favorites. Mark Malusis will be on Wednesday and Thursday. But yeah, you got me. So 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take a call. I started off talking about the Mets and a little bit about the Yankees, basically just saying it's not the worst loss of the season. The worst loss of the season is the one where it's like, that's the season. You can easily say for Mets fans, going into the last week of August, if you knew back in January you'd be 2.5 games out of the last wild card spot, would you take that? The answer would absolutely be yes. Let's go to Adam in East Islip on the Fan. What you thinking about, Adam?
How we doing? Thanks for having me on. Well, I was thinking about the conversation with Lindor and Ohtani, and I was at the game Friday. Lindor's been playing elite for sure, no doubt about it. But is there really much of a conversation on who wins that? Like, if I asked you who's going to win, I got to think most people are 100% saying Ohtani.
Ohtani's going to win. And I don't know if it's 100% now after you saw Lindor homer from both sides of the plate, you know, grand slam. Like, the guy's doing it with his glove, doing it with his bat. I just think he's in the conversation. I think last week I heard Evan laughing at Positive Tommy saying, there's no conversation. Yeah, because one guy has multiple MVPs. One guy does something in baseball we've never seen. But in a year where he's not pitching, yes, you can look at the 40 homers and the 40 stolen bases. But I also look at, like, most valuable player. Ohtani is with Freddie Freeman. Ohtani is with Mookie Betts. He's with the Dodgers, who every year are where they are, with or without him. His value to them, I guess, is, you know, $700 million. But Lindor's value to the Mets, like, where would the Mets be without their shortstop? It's a big gap there. That's the conversation.
Yeah, I think I agree completely. But if I asked you, if you put Ohtani on the Mets, would he make more of an impact than Lindor is right now?
I don't know, because he doesn't play on the other side of the ball yet. Like, you know, he just threw off the mound for the first time. I was reading that, you know, he's coming back to pitch. He's not going to pitch this year. But, you know, he's a DH. So, how much better than J.D. Martinez is he? He's a lot better. Does he win you some of those close games, some more of those games? Maybe. But Ohtani was never coming over here. Thanks for the call, Adam. Another conversation I was having with Ohtani with a friend of mine from the Fan Cave. That's where I was over the weekend. We had the 10-year MLB Fan Cave reunion. You know, talking about wasting opportunities. That was an opportunity of a lifetime for me. I don't think I end up doing a lot of things if it wasn't for that. And one of my good friends in the Fan Cave is Serena. She's a Dodgers fan. And then we're talking to other baseball fans, and they're all telling me how Ohtani's better than Judge and this and this and this. We're having that debate. But then I'm talking about Ohtani, and I'm like, man, Ohtani was so secretive. He was hiding so many things. Ohtani had a scandal to start the year. We just brushed that under the rug. Ohtani didn't even give New York a chance, the Mets or the Yankees. And he's beloved in Los Angeles on both sides. He's a traitor. He went from the Angels to the Dodgers. Nobody made a fuss about it. The Angels fans, during their preseason game, their exhibition spring training game that they hosted the Dodgers in the Big A, they're standing up giving him a round of applause. I'm like, why does this guy have different rules? Why does this guy get treated differently? Either way, I don't care so much to talk about Ohtani. I just think that we have to put respect on Lindor's name. And in doing so, we are saying that he's in the MVP conversation. Ohtani's going to win it. Ohtani has won year after year after year. The only one that stopped Ohtani was Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is going to win it too. But I just got to put respect on what Lindor has done through this stretch. You could argue he's been just as good as Ohtani, just in a different way. His importance to the Mets, hitting, being clutch hitting, defensively, what he does. Yeah, I got a lot of respect for Lindor. That contract is accurate. He's worth what he makes. And for him to start slow in the beginning of the season when it was cold, it's like, okay, so what? That's what we see. That's consistent with him. But, man, he's on one right now, and they're going to need him the rest of the way. And he's a guy that came out in the beginning of the year, and when people were down on him, he was constant. He was steady. He had a smile on his face. He came out and said, I'm Francisco Lindor. Like, he knows who he is, and he knows he's the leader and most important player on that team. They called the team meeting. He led in that team meeting, and then he went out there after and led by example with his bat, with his glove. I mean, you know, we were talking about whether he shouldn't hit from both sides of the plate. We were talking about, you know, all this stuff with Lindor that doesn't matter. What matters is right now the Mets are in it. They're above 500. They're only a couple games out of the last wild card spot. And you got to look at this last month as an entertaining month. You got to look at this last month as an opportunity. And the Mets absolutely can't waste this opportunity. Jarvis is in Harlem next on The Fan. What's up, Jarvis?
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
All right. You know, a little different being on at 10 a.m. versus 10 p.m., but I'm living in it.
Yeah, for the first time. Yes, just taking over. Yeah, I want to talk about the Mets from yesterday. I think that, I mean, they just wasted Jose Quintana's performance. You know, if they was like wasting a 2-0 lead in the bullpen, they didn't get the job done. So that was, I wouldn't say it was a worst loss from yesterday, but because you know how the Mets do, because it's hard to take. They should have took 3 out of 4 from San Diego, but they blew it. But it was because Because, you know, when they had like a 10-game road trip, but they losing two out of three to the Angels. But
they got swept by the Mariners. The Mariners just fired their manager. It's not great. But what it is it's compounded. Like I said, it's the Braves losing on the same day. It's the best part of your bullpen giving up the game. Like your weapon in Jose Buto and your closer in Edwin Diaz, the guys that you think you can always rely on, depend on. And then again, like you said, wasting a Quintana start. Usually the Quintana start is over in the third inning. I mean, for him to pitch like he did yesterday, I know many people wanted him to be pulled, him to get out of that game a little bit sooner. It's compounded. You had the lead. You had a 2-0 lead, and you could have taken the series, but you end up splitting the series. And I just don't think that all is lost.
Yeah. So, and then they got a day off, and then they got the Diamondbacks, which they never lose. I mean, and then you got to go to the White Sox, and you know, because you know how the Mets always do struggle against bad teams, but you know, this is an opportunity to do that. But if they don't do that, the next six games on this road trip, but it's going to be, I mean, that'd be done. So you know, they got to take care of business. So.
Thanks for the call, man. I mean, you just said it, though, right? Today might be one of the last days I could say, it's all right. It's all right in front of them. Today could be one of the last days I could say, that's not the worst loss of the season. They still have, because if you go get swept by the Diamondbacks, that's tough. I don't think they're going to get swept by the Diamondbacks. They need to take 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks, and then you'll look at these three series against postseason teams that are wild card teams in the postseason, and say, we took 2 from the Orioles, we took 2 from the Padres, we took 2 from the Diamondbacks. We belong. But then also with the White Sox, don't take them lightly. Speaking from experience, it was just 2 weeks ago today, the New York Yankees waltzed in there thinking it was all good, thinking it was sweet. And that ended up being the Chicago White Sox World Series, where they win 12-2. They wore their City Connect uniforms. It was Grady Sizemore's first win as manager. Luis Gil struggled. Oh, we lost Jazz Chisholm. Good to have Jazz Chisholm back, by the way, as everything is coming together for the Yankees, it seems. Handling business against the Rockies, as they should. Well, like I said, the old-timers' day, at least you had the old-timers' day festivities before that whack game with Will Warren. But the Yankees handling business, Judge being Judge. For Yankee fans right now, I think you're okay with where we are. There's a little bit of a lead, a 1.5 game lead, and the Orioles don't look as dominant as they've looked for stretches in this series. So we take it day by day, game by game, series by series, week to week, month to month. Here comes the last month of this baseball season. 888-808-1019. To my guys that are on Twitch, when we come back, we're going to check in with you. I'm going to make sure to do a Twitch chat check-in every hour once we get to about a quarter of the hour. Again, and a reminder for you that Brian Hoke, who covers the Yankees for MLB, will join us around 11:30. This is Keith McPherson filling in for BT and Sal on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first caller to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive 2 pairs of tickets to a Yankees 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. Keith McPherson on The Fan, feeling fantastic. Filling in for BT and Sal, and talking about the Mets. We're definitely going to talk about the Yankees. You know, speaking of winning tickets to the game, like, I just got to add this in here. I like the ballpark down there in Atlanta, Truist Park. I think it might be my second favorite ballpark because it's new. I think that they've had a lot of time to take from other ballparks. Obviously, they used to play in the old Turner Field. They have a ton around there in the Battery. It's been built up over years. The last time I was there was 2018, but I mean, I'm a Yankee Stadium guy. I don't tell you that I think Yankee Stadium is the best ballpark in the country. I like it because I go there all the time. But, man, the perspective is different. Like, you know, they have a bar club called PBR that everybody goes to, and it's huge. It might be bigger than Billy's. But they charge a $10 cover to get in there. I'm like, what is this? In New York, we don't do this. We have a club outside Yankee Stadium. You don't have to pay to get in. The drinks are expensive. Like, we're going to have tabs. And over the last 3 days, being in Atlanta and being a little bit older now and bringing my son, that's another thing, traveling with a baby, I'm fully in it. I'm fully the parents on the plane. Shout out to my wife getting my son to nap and booking flights with his nap schedule. He was able to sleep on the way out and the way back, but not without a fight, not without a struggle. So I'm fully the parents of the baby that's screaming on the plane until we're up in the air and he's sleeping. But, you know, my thing is, comparing New York to other cities, I'm wearing the Yankees collab, the New York or Nowhere collab that just dropped last week. If you saw Mariano Rivera wearing some of that stuff, I got the crew neck. I got the light blue crew neck. I have so much Yankee stuff that's navy blue, gray, white. I was like, I got to get the baby blue one. That's a little different. But New York or Nowhere, it's a real thing. You know, New York is a city that it'll beat you down. It can be rough for a lot of us. Back in 2018, I thought about moving to Atlanta. I went down there with my wife. We looked at a couple apartments. I had, you know, two leads. I met up with some people, and, you know, I was striking out in the city. So I was just looking for a job and a lower cost of living, you know, just an exit. Like, all right, well, you know, I worked in New York for a little bit, and maybe it's not for me to stay here forever. Maybe I go to another city. You know, people go to different cities. I've heard BT and Sal talk about how in radio, you know, them coming up, the different cities they've worked in, and I'm glad I didn't make that decision, man. I could do Atlanta for a couple days. I don't know if I could do it for a week. It's just different. Little things like driving. You know, you're at a stoplight in New York City. The light turns green, and you immediately hear, eh. In Atlanta, you're at a stoplight. The light turns green. The guy that's the first to go is, like, looking around like it's okay to go. Light's green, everybody, right? We're good. I can go now. Okay, now we go. Like, the house is down there. I stayed in an Airbnb where I was laughing. I'm like, if this house was in New York or New Jersey, it'd be multi-millions. This house is like a $300,000 house. It's crazy. And then even little things that we take for granted, like food and coffee and where to go. Like, it's not that simple to find, you know, good food. In New York, it's everywhere. Even little things like I missed an exit and I had to go all the way down to another exit, get back on 75. There's like 75 and 85 to go back. I'm like, this is taking forever. In New York, you make a wrong turn, you make another right, you make another right, you're right back to where you were. So I definitely have appreciation for New York City. I'm sure some of you guys can relate to it. Like I said, it's hard. There's a lot of people here. It's crowded, but, you know, the sun comes up and the sun goes down every day, and somehow New York City operates fast and at an impressive and efficient rate. You know, driving around the city in Atlanta, I'm like, this looks like a ghost city. It's like nobody out here. It looks like abandoned. Also, it's Sunday. And down there in the South, you know, Chick-fil-A is not open. A lot of restaurants and things aren't open on Sunday. Very religious down there. But yeah, just the perspective, man. Going to Truist Ballpark and how their fans are not rowdy. You know, I come out of the bleachers. I come out of Section 203. I was telling my boy Mike, I'm like, a Friday night like this, the cowbell man would have been ringing off. We would have been chanting and ranting and raving and having our own side conversations about the game. Like, this is a library over here until they do the, oh, and they put people on the big screen. And they're not enthusiastic about it. It's almost like forced. 888-808-1019. Back to the conversation at hand. I said we were going to check in with folks on Twitch. And I was talking about Francisco Lindor in the MVP conversation. And I went back to last week when, you know, Loogie has been saying he's in the MVP conversation for a couple months now. And Evan obviously laughed him off and said, no, there is no conversation. No, there is. There is a conversation. So the conversation in the Twitch chat, shout out to you guys. I see you. You see me. You know, blown 5 PNT4. I'm not exactly sure what that name is. But he says, there's a difference between being the best offensive player and most valuable. Lindor is more valuable. And I said, yeah, he's more valuable to his team. Maybe not in every stat or every metric or every category. But you can always in baseball go cherry pick something. And right now, when you look at F war, and I'm not an analytics guy, I'm not a a BABIP, ex-WOBA. I don't watch baseball like that. I use the eye test. But Francisco Lindor leads all NL players in F-WAR. He's slightly above Shohei Ohtani. And that's what I'm saying. Ohtani's not pitching, right? Ohtani is just a really good DH that can hit home runs and steal bases. But the Dodgers would survive without him. They survived without Mookie Betts, who's a former MVP as well. Man, think about when they move Lindor to the leadoff spot for this team. As he goes, the team goes. How many clutch moments has he had? How many hits has he had? How many moments has he had either to win a game or break a game open? Shout out to everybody on Twitch. I guess we have a San Diego Padres fan in there who says, long live Joe Musgrove. Yeah, he got another one. He got another one. That's JH10SD619. What I find on Twitch is not like Twitter or Instagram. My Twitch name is Keith McPherson. No, my Instagram Twitter is just my first name, last name. But on Twitch, I guess they suggest these like numbers and codes for people to make their names on there. But yeah, man, appreciate everybody in the Twitch chat. If you want to watch live, it's twitch.tv, WFAN. And these guys are in there every day. What I was telling Dove and telling Hoff is with me doing the night shift, I wake up to this show. I'm usually up finally out of the bed. I'll get up in the morning a little bit to help my wife with my son and go back to bed. But I'm up to start my day by 10. And I have Twitch on the big screen. And I'm watching BT and Sal. And there are some diehard fans. Diehard fans of the Fan. Diehard fans of the Mets, Yankees, and other teams, right? Like I just said, there's a Padres fan in there that are watching on Twitch. And there's a live chat going on for this whole show. So wanted to give them their props. We'll continue to do some check-ins with the Twitch chat, what you guys are talking about around the quarter of the hour. Can I sneak in another call here before we go to break? Let's sneak in another call here. Logan is in West Orange. Logan, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you, Keith?
I'm good. Good morning.
Morning. I just wanted to say that, you know, I do think Francisco should be the MVP. I mean, they would be nothing without him, his leadership.
It's just the Ohtani Award, right, Logan? We're just going to – it's Ohtani's annual award. He just gets MVP every year he's in the league.
Well, isn't there one for each group or no?
Yes, and he's out of the American League now, so Judge is going to win probably. I'm glad because, you know, they would actually probably make an argument if he was in the American League right now. They were making an argument for Bobby Witt Jr. until Judge went crazy this week. But, yes, Shohei Ohtani's going to win it. But I think in this last month, you can bring Francisco Lindor and what he's done for these Mets into the conversation, especially if they end up being a postseason team.
Yeah, I mean, some Mets aren't doing well, and he just picks it up.
Constant.
This is like the Lindor that we've been waiting for from the Indians, you know? And he's unbelievable. I don't know where we would be without him and his leadership.
He's one of the best shortstops in the league.
And even his defense, you know, even when he wasn't doing well, his defense is just
always there. You can always count on that. He's getting you into those double plays, getting those double plays started, his range, and he's fired up, man. That tag when they got Jackson Merrill out at second base, I love the energy he plays with.
Thank you. And he, this would be the first MVP for the Mets.
Yeah, he just set a record, I think, or created one, as the first shortstop in MLB history with three 25-25 seasons. 25 stolen bases, 25 homers.
Now, at night, did you take over for Smooth?
Yeah, 3 years ago, actually. Yesterday made it 3 years since my audition, August 25th, 2021, which is just crazy to think about how fast time moves.
Wow.
But yes, my guy Steve, in November of 2021, retired, and then I took over nights after Steve.
Wow, that's a legend. Hopefully you'll have a long career as much as him.
I mean, he's an icon. The first thing I said coming in here, even being on Boomer and Geo's show, they're like, how are you going to, follow in those footsteps? How are you going to fill those shoes? I'm like, I'm not. I can't. It's not on the table.
just keep eating healthy,
Yeah, and working out and trying to sleep and showing up.
I got to tell you something. When I first, listened to you, now, I love you. I love your comments. I love your insight. When I first listened to you and you were just ragging on the Mets, I don't know if I didn't really like you much because I felt like you were...
Because you like the Mets, because you're a Mets fan. How could you like somebody that's coming in and roasting the Mets, trolling the Mets?
What changed my mind about you was how hard you were on the Yankees. And then I realized that you were just being fair.
I'm way harder on the team that I love. And
yeah.
I mean, thanks for the call, Logan. That comes from the culture of Yankee Stadium, being in the stadium. I am a stadium fan. I don't know how much I talk about being a bleacher creature on this station. And, like, those are the diehard fans. Those are the heartbeat of the fans in that section. They're hard on the Yankees, and they hate the Mets. So coming in to WFAN, I had to obviously learn to be professional. I had to learn how to talk about both teams. I had to learn how to deliver my thoughts and takes and do a show. But you were literally plucking someone from out of the stadium, dropping them in here, and making fun of the Mets is just part of what Yankee fans do. But I can be real about this Mets team. I like this Mets team. I liked the Mets team 2 years ago. I called them the Make It Happen Mets. The season's not over, and I think we're going to have October baseball on both sides, Queens and the Bronx. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call us up, 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.